Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, go-getters. Let Noom Sport Hydration Tablets power up your fun and keep you ready to move. Simply drop, dissolve, and enjoy crisp and refreshing flavors like strawberry lemonade or lemon lime. With 5 essential electrolytes and crafted with clean, non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free ingredients, Noom should be your go-to hydration choice. Because when you're hydrated, you can do more, go further, and recover quicker. Shop now on noonlife.com and get ready for endless fun, because anything can happen after noon.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Welcome to Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. I am Joe Galina.
Acknowledge me.
And as always, I'm joined by my buddy Scott Chu, looking spiffy today. Lots of colors going on there. How's it going there, Scott?
Not too bad. Just spending some time on a Sunday to be your friendly neighborhood fantasy hitting analyst. But I am also getting ready to go to the zoo today, and I do like to dress a little flashy for the zoo. Just, you know, great. Maybe an animal takes a second look. Maybe an animal, sees some interest in it. Probably not. Probably has nothing to do with it. But it's a great excuse to dress, ridiculously, which is, how I prefer.
Yeah, no, you look spiffy. I wish we were on video this way. Everyone could see just how spiffy you do look. And it's interesting going to
head on down to a – yeah, they could just head on down to First Pitch Arizona when I'm out there. You'll know which one I am.
There you go.
look for the bright colors, and that'll be me.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned you go to the zoo. I wonder how certain animals – aren't like certain animals colorblind or whatnot, but certain, I guess, aren't. So it'll be interesting. Let me know which ones I really take – let me know if any take a liking to you. I'd be interested to know that.
Why not?
It was interesting because I was listening to local sports talk radio here in New York. And as I wasn't aware, I was doing some other stuff on my laptop, and I wasn't aware that you were getting ready to be brought on to the podcast, and you were listening to some local stuff and you got a kick out of it, right? Because, there's a huge series this weekend with the Yanks and the Dodgers, two of the best teams in baseball. And unfortunately, the Dodgers have taken the first two games. We're recording this, by the way, it's 11:47 a.m. Sunday, June 9th. So if any news breaks and we don't cover it, that's the reason. But the Yanks basically dodged the bullet. We'll start off with the Juan Soto news, right? All of a sudden, Thursday, there was a rain delay in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden, Juan Soto, old reliable, he really doesn't miss many games, this guy, but he gets taken out of the game after the rain delay, doesn't come back in. And all of a sudden, I'm listening to the post-game press conference from Aaron Boone, Yankee manager, and he's talking about that, for the past week and a half, he's had this soreness in his forearm. And as soon as you hear forearm soreness, you think, Tommy John surgery, and of course, what happened to Bryce Harper and whatnot. So Yanks really dodged a bullet because, they took some imaging, MRI. It's only inflammation. Looked at his forearm and elbow. So, but he's really shown his worth because, past couple of games, Yanks have lost, and he's going to be a free agent at the end of the season. So Yanks need to open up their pocketbooks for him. And I'll say it again, I was wrong in my assessment of him, Scott. Over the years, I've always kind of been, you know, talking about how, you know, he slumped once he left the Nationals and all, but just watching this guy play every day, just amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think he's well on his way to, you know, he set his home run record last year, his personal record at 35. He looks like he's going to, you know, he definitely looks like he's going to blow that away, right? I think he's going to push for 40. You can say some of that is because of Yankee Stadium and the short pole field, but I mean, part of it is just because he's got that kind of power, right? Mm-hmm. Juan Soto, just he's shown that power before. He's still got it. He's on a team where he might be a little more rejuvenated. You kind of hoped that would happen in San Diego, but that team never came together the way they hoped. And now he's on a Yankee team that definitely looks like they're playoff bound. So, you know, it's been a little while. It's not, you know, it's not that he's never been on good teams, but it's been a little while since he's really been on a team that's competing. So that is, you know, that's really exciting, but it's really funny. You know, a guy misses a couple games and narratives just go out of control. Right. They're like, well, they're nothing without him. It's like, well, that's not true. Aaron Judge is the best hitter in baseball. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's at least for the last 2-3 weeks. Well, really, yeah,
since
a whole month,
basically, right? Yeah, since May 1st. Yeah. It's just been incredible.
Mm-hmm. And so like you can get away with, you know, with Juan Soto not, you know, not being there. And also, you know, I'm not too worried about this forearm thing. If they, you know, just because what struck me was like, oh, yeah, it's been like a week and a half. I'm like, yeah, well, like, last weekend, this dude hit 2 home runs in a game.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. His last 10 games. Yeah. Last 10 games, batting 375 with a 1.335 OPS. So he wasn't showing any signs of being in distress for that week and a half.
Yeah, sure. Amazing. Like, he had that series against Minnesota. He only has one hit, but he had several balls that he hit pretty darn hard, if I recall. He's hitting the ball just fine. So I'm curious. Yeah, I think, you know, it probably is just one of those bumps and bruises things, and they're going to give him a little time and he's going to be just fine. But, you know, please don't. Number one, love listening to New York sports radio, because those guys, like, it's not that they're not intelligent, but the stereotype of New York voice is just like, their guy Walker Buehler. Like, okay. All right. We're New York radio. Name, got it.
His last name ends in an A, not E-R. Buehler.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just adding syllables. It's all kinds of crazy. But it's, you know, don't we have this tendency, and it's really bad on baseball Twitter, to something happens and we connect everything to that event, right? Or we let that one event define like the entire narrative. And if there's anything that I would impress upon people, it's that nothing is that simple. Like very, very few things in this world are that cause and effect driven, right? One thing happens, now it's all ruined, right? Like we hope that that's an explanation for, say, Corbin Carroll, right? That he had that shoulder injury and ever since then, it hasn't been better. Once the shoulder's better, he should be better, right? Like that's the idea. But rarely are things that simple. There's almost certainly other things happening there that we just can't really get to the bottom of because we're not there in his ear every day, right? We're not there looking at the medical record. We don't have any of that. So like, it's not that you can't use something to drive a narrative, but it will almost never be a pure one-to-one thing. Like guy has a swing change and he gets hot. It's like, okay, well, that's not a permanent thing, right? There are other things happening, right? Like as pitchers change, I mean, we saw this with Ryan McMahon last year. He goes on this crazy hot streak for like 3 weeks. They're like, oh yeah, it's because he had a swing change. I'm like, okay, what about like, that doesn't mean he's fixed forever, right? Guys don't make one tweak and just never look back, right? Like guys change their swing all the time, right? They tweak their swing all the time. You know, the biggest thing about the Juan Soto news is, one, he's probably fine. Number two, don't go crazy. Like it's some forearm thing, but like, he's not a pitcher, right? Like it's not quite the same as hearing like a pitcher. Like when you hear Clayton Kershaw has a forearm problem, you're like, well, he's not pitching this year. Right. Like that's the way that goes. But for Juan Soto, it's like, look, he's getting a weekend off. He's getting a series off. Like, yeah, he played 162 games last year, but like 150 games is a pretty full darn season. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So like he's an Iron Man.
Four series. Right. Yeah. You can miss 3 or 4 whole series and still have a very, very full season. So nothing to worry about.
And that game on Friday night, you know, it might have been theatrics or just, you know, keep the Dodgers guessing. But at one point, he had a bat in his hand and batting gloves on. And there was it was a classic game. It went into extra innings where it was scoreless. These two huge offenses, the Yanks and Dodgers, going scoreless for around 11 innings, and finally Dodgers ended up winning. But this guy just has it. Just, you know, I know that we're going sidetracked here, but this, just watching him play every day, he just has a great time playing baseball. And last night, if I don't know if anyone saw the national broadcast, but you know, Gerrit Cole does one of these in-game interviews, and he has the headphones on, and all of a sudden in the background you see Juan Soto handing him a cup. Then he, as he's being interviewed, and he hands Cole a cup, and he starts pouring Gatorade for him, takes a towel, puts it on his shoulder for him. And yeah, and then on Friday night you're watching him, and he's dancing in the dugout, he's just like he's having a great time. And I think he really adds a lot of intangibles. Not only that he's an awesome player, but the intangibles that he adds to a team, just insane. And I don't know.
And Joe, this dude is 25 years old. Juan Soto is 25 years old.
Yes.
Like, we have all of this, you know, we have all the stuff on. That's because he played 116 games for the Nats as a 19-year-old. Like, this is unbelievable. What Juan Soto has become. Juan Soto is 25 and a half years old. He has 3,665 career plate appearances with a 157 WRC plus at age 25. It is wild. Like, I don't mind the sidetrack, because like talking about, we don't get to talk about Juan Soto a lot besides say, yep, Juan Soto, still Juan Soto, looks great. What he's done is truly incredible. The impact he's had on multiple teams at age 25 is just insane.
Yeah. So what do you do? I know this isn't really fantasy talk, but look, if you're the Yankees, now you gave Aaron Judge $40 million per year, you know, 9-10 years, whatever it is. Can you give Soto, you know, more per year than that? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can't let this guy go, right? But, you know, look, you had a lot of money that you were offering Yamamoto. And talking about New York Sports Talk, one of the old timers called Yamamoto Yakamoto. And the host had to correct him. I thought it was funny. But anyway, so look, they had all this money that they were earmarking for Yamamoto last offseason. So obviously, I know the Yanks are talking about that this payroll is not sustainable, but obviously there's money there. But I'm just wondering, just from a standpoint, like, how do you keep Judge happy and yet, you know, keep Soto happy when you make this contract offer to him? Do you, you know, give him more than that $40 million per? What do you do?
Well, but let's not forget that Aaron Judge also got a 9-year deal and he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I would like to think that, you know, Aaron Judge has never struck me as the kind of guy that feels like he has to be the highest paid player on a team.
I think there were rumors that he passed up more money to come back to the Yankees. Like, I think, was it the Giants that offered him a little bit more?
Well, his hometown team, you know, as a kid. But so
we destroyed last weekend, by the way, but I don't.
Yeah. So two things. I'll put a fantasy spin on it. And if you're like a dynasty player, you're in like an auction keeper, right? And sometimes you run into this situation where you have two massive contracts on the books and you think, how can I build the rest of my team if I keep both these guys? The answer is, like, even in a situation where you're capped on salary, it is doable, right? Like, you can do a stars and scrubs kind of thing in the fantasy side because you have a hard cap, right? There's always a hard cap. So you're like, look, you can build the stars and scrub if you like, you know, they're not too bad to build a team around Judge and Soto, even if it eats up a huge chunk of your salary. In pro baseball, there is no salary cap. So how do you make them happy? Just pay them, right? you pay them. Right? And I think any team would be smart to pay Juan Soto $40 million a year, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to me, it's a non-issue, because the very first thing is, does Juan Soto want to come back? Are you willing to pay him $40 million a year? Because someone is going to offer him that, and you know, you might as well pay it. You're paying him $31 million this year.
Someone might order him more. Someone might offer him more. I mean, look what the Dodgers are giving Ohtani. I know it's, you know, over a period of several years where a lot of it's deferred. But, I mean, does he look at himself – this is all hypothetical, of course. Does he look at himself as like, oh, I'm worth as much as Ohtani? And, of course, he's got his agent is notorious, right, for holding out for a lot of money.
I like to think that most baseball players don't compare themselves to Ohtani, right? Because when you ask them, like, who's the best player in baseball, almost all of them be like, oh, it's Ohtani. Ohtani, mm-hmm. Shohei Ohtani. Because of what he can do on both sides. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. But for the most part, I think when I think about Aaron Judge staying in New York, I mean, that's a 35 to 40 home run a year guy who, I mean, he's probably his career high in RBI is 110. I think he clears that. I think he can do 120. Mm-hmm. If he plays 150 games this season with Volpe and Judge getting on base right ahead of him. So that's, you know, well, so he's hitting second. So it might be a little harder with just Volpe in front of him, but you know, between the runs and the RBI, you're looking at like, I think 250 combined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you could absolutely see somewhere between like 230 and 250 combined runs scored in RBI. Just, you know, elite production all across the board.
Yeah. During one of the recent broadcasts, they had said that Judge was pretty much on his pace for the, you know, the 60 plus home runs that he had a couple of years back. But who knows? But all right. So enough Yanks. Thanks for letting me talk Yanks. There was some legitimate news that I just had to, you know, bring up. But Rafael Devers, third baseman for the Red Sox, hopefully it's nothing major, but he's day-to-day with some knee soreness, and I believe he's not going to be in the lineup for today's game on Sunday. So hopefully that's not a long-term issue because, you know, we talked about third base being so shallow in fantasy, but hoping for that. Kyle Tucker, basically one of the best offensive hitters in baseball and has kind of saved, the Astros season, you know, with 19 home runs, 40 RBI. He's on the IL, fouled the ball off his leg on the 10-day injured list, retroactive to June 4th. They think it's just going to be a short-term stint on the IL. But if you care, Joey Lopofito is back in the bigs, and you know, I don't think we really care much about that. I mean, he had a decent average, but the strikeouts really got to him, right?
Yeah, for Rafael Devers, missing a game on Sunday to me is not that big of a deal. Teams give veterans rest on Sunday all the time, right? Like that's one of the reasons streaming on Sunday can be so fun is because teams rest a bunch of guys on Sunday, especially when they have Monday off. Now, I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but Boston, whether or not they play Monday, I wouldn't take the fact that, they're off Monday. Boston's off Monday. Mm-hmm. So it makes a ton of sense why they'll mm-hmm. rest Devers on Sunday, see if they can get him back for the home. Like they've got two home series right in a row against the Phillies and the Yankees. Those are, you know, obviously two of the best teams in baseball. So, I don't think we're going to get any real news on Devers till Monday, which stinks if you're setting lineups. But I don't think you can read too deep into the Sunday bit unless they release some news, because again, it just makes too much sense to give him some time off if he had anything ailing him at all, as Devers mm-hmm. is really the heart of that entire team. And then on the Astros side, you know, missing Kyle Tucker, that stinks. Kyle Tucker has been, you know, he's shown us that he has that next level to his game, even though the team around him was really, really struggling in April. They're already back to, it's kind of crazy to think that they're up to like, they're only 5.5 games back from the Mariners when you look at just how bad they were to start the season. But as far as the outfield in Houston goes, I'm not really interested in any of the guys actually playing in the outfield right now. Mm-hmm. With other than Yordan Alvarez, obviously, who's really turned things around after his slow start. So much of this offense got to a slow start. Alex Bregman, though, has really turned it around. He got hot real quick. He's right back on track. Yordan Alvarez, he looks like he's getting back on track. Jeremy Pena has slowed down a bit, but this offense is putting together enough things. Yainer Diaz really coming out of, you know, really coming out of the slump he had. He's a very interesting catcher. I think he's been cut in a lot of places. I think he's probably worth scooping up if you've been, you know, rostering just streamers at catcher. Like you had Elias Diaz and now he's, you know, going back on the road or something. I'd scoop up Yainer Diaz. Absolutely. Jake Myers, he slowed down quite a bit, and I wasn't that big on the skill set anyway. You know, I'm not interested in Trey Cabbage. Chaz McCormick, even with this injury to Tucker, I don't think McCormick has a real role in this offense. He's got to be dropped everywhere. Like, I'm not even sure I hold him in AL only, Chaz mm-hmm. McCormick. So that's a disappointment. Will Profito, again, I think that's a platoon at best for mm-hmm. him. I think maybe he gets some time in into like left field or something, maybe first base to give Jose Abreu a breather and to just be another left-handed bat for them because they don't have a ton of them in the normal sort of rotation. But yeah, tough break for Kyle Tucker, but that doesn't look like a long-term issue either.
Right, right. All right. Before we head over to our first break, let's talk a little Rockies baseball. Adiel Amador being called up by the Rockies to replace Brendan Rodgers, who hits the IL. Amador, second base shortstop eligible. It's surprising that, move for the Rockies, because he only has a 194, 337, 329 triple slash across 209 plate appearances with their AA Hartford affiliate. Does have 22 steals out of 25 attempts. Interesting little player, though. Amador has actually more walks than strikeouts in his minor league career. Good source of power and speed, but we're always a little wary about how the Rockies utilize their young players. But any interest in Amador this week?
In certain scenarios, yes. So as a prospect and in Dynasty, absolutely. This is a guy who's a top 100-ish prospect, maybe a little more than that for fantasy. He's pretty much all hit tool and a bit of speed. He's showing more speed in the minors than I really expected. I know he stole some in single A, he's stealing a bit in double A, but I don't expect him to run quite so much in the majors. I think in a full season, this is a guy who could maybe be like 15-15 in terms of like home run, stolen bases. And in the short term, he could have more upside than that long term. Let's see what that hit tool looks like. Guys with a really, really good hit tool like Amador can sometimes turn that into more power at the major league level than we expect. The best example of that would be like an Ozzy Albies, who really just kind of came up with a hit tool, turned it into power. Obviously that's more of an extreme scenario. This is a young player. Amador is someone who, I think he's probably going to hit too many ground balls to really tap into the power, despite the fact that he's in Coors. But at the same time, I think Amador is someone who's worth scooping in deeper leagues where you've got a deep bench, or, you're doing a second, it's a deep 12 teamer with a middle infield spot, and you want to, you want to throw a dart out there, right? Amador could be someone who really gets, sort of ignore the ratios that you've seen the last two seasons. He did get injured last year. He hurt something in his wrist or his hand, the hammock bone or something like that. So with Amador, I think you can get excited, but don't expect him to be like a lot of the Rockies prospects we get excited about, who are these like low hit tool, all power speed guys, a Brenton Doyle or something like that, who have like these extreme sort of tools somewhere between speed or power. Amador is much more of a balanced hit tool type player. So, hopefully what we get from him is great ratios and like enough power and speed to matter, but it's really hard to say whether that will truly be the case.
Right.
He actually reminds me a bit of his teammate who's having a great year so far, but that projections don't like so much, which is Ezekiel Tovar.
Yeah. So hard to quit Rockies players, right? You just always think about the benefits of playing there in Colorado with that huge field and obviously the thin air and whatnot. So, yeah. All right.
I should clarify. When I say he reminds me of Tovar, I don't necessarily mean in terms of like the strikeout and walks. That's where Amador is very different. Amador will strike out less. He'll walk way more. But in terms of like what they bring to the table for offensive stats, like the counting stuff, it's very Tovar, which is somewhat limited power. Tovar's maybe got a little bit more power because Tovar, I think, can hit like 20 to 23 home runs, and Amador is more like 15 to 20, but it's this sort of like hit tool focused, like average type of contribution.
Yeah. I didn't know much about Amador, but when I just looked and I saw that he had more walks than strikeouts in his minor league career, very impressive. So let's take our first break here. When we come back, we'll talk about some names that you actually will recognize that got DFA'd this week. There were a couple of them. A new role for Vlad Guerrero Jr. and some more talk about some flavors of the week. We'll talk about all of that right after this.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com. NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
All right, we're back. Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. I'm Joe Gallina. Follow me at Joe Gallina, J-O-E-G-A-L-L-I-N-A. Follow my man, Scott Chu, at If The Chu Fits. And Scott, a few players that have been DFA'd this week. So, really no shockers, but names that we recognize, though. Kevin Biggio, his career with the Blue Jays finally over. He was DFA'd. And you know, there's going to be a couple players to talk about with DFA. I don't know if you were ever a Walking Dead fan, but they used to, at the end of each episode, it was the Talking Dead, the show after where they talked about what happened in the episode. They would do a video compilation at the end of every episode showcasing everyone who was killed off that week, whether they were a zombie or not, and with somber music playing in the background. But maybe we should do that. But Kevin Biggio getting DFA'd. Vlad Guerrero Jr. Has started playing some third base and supposedly, according to the Blue Jays, going to be doing so from time to time moving forward. So, you know, Ernie Clement and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa have been playing third base mostly for the Blue Jays. And seems like when Guerrero Jr. is playing third, that Justin Turner and maybe even we'll see some more Daniel Vogelback, who reminds me of Chris Farley. Someone posted that, and I said, yeah, you know, he does. We'll be playing some first base. So a little more Justin Turner and Vogelback at first, and here and there we're going to be seeing some Vlad Guerrero Jr. at third, which would be great because you're getting, a third base eligibility eventually at a thin position in fantasy.
I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not saying that he won't.
It's happened already, though. played a couple of times.
So in Yahoo leagues where you need like, I think, five starts to get the eligibility, I think you'll get it there. Mm-hmm. I wonder how long it will be before he gets to the 20 game threshold that many other formats use.
Right.
That might take a while. But I mean, it's possible, right? I remember the Tigers once moved Miggy back over, to cover third base when they had Prince Fielder. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Biggio really came out strong his rookie year and never really got back into it. He just couldn't make enough contact. I think, I don't know if I'm that, if the rest of the shuffling interests me that much in fantasy. I mean, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is like a contact and speed oriented streamer, like not a ton of speed, but enough hitting towards the bottom of that lineup. But otherwise, I mean, I think the big thing for Vlad Guerrero Jr. that would explode his value isn't getting that third base eligibility as much as it would be showing us power again. Right. I mean, he's He's behind.
Now you want everything. Now you want everything.
I know, right? So a couple home runs lately, which is great, right? Yep. Like he's got two of them. He's already got two of them so far here in June. That's awesome. I like that. He's got a couple doubles as well, but man, the power is way down. His slug, you know, sometimes ISO is a good way to look at power. Mm-hmm. I also look at like the gap between OBP and slugging, right? Like how close are those numbers? Mm-hmm. That'll tell you a lot about how often this guy's putting, getting extra base hits and things like that. And it's not good, right? The 387 OBP is great, but a 429 slug, like that means it's a lot of singles. Mm-hmm. Right. He's been a singles machine, but he's only got 19 extra base hits on the year, which isn't very good. Right. When you consider he's played 64 games. Right. So like it's more than what you have to wait more than three. Like it's more than one in three games that he has an extra base hit. Right. It's like between one in three and one in four. That's not great. Right. And we sort of know the reason. I mean, we do know the reason why. Dude's hitting everything on the ground. Vlad Guerrero Jr.
He's done that his whole career, pretty much, for the most part.
For really that magical 2021. He finally had that ground ball rate below 45% or so, definitely below 50, and he had exploded, right? He hit the fly balls. He did that a bit last year, which is why we were thinking like, oh, hey, look, maybe he's going to get back on track. But you guys, I think 2023 is the power stuff to expect going forward for Vlad Guerrero Jr. And it can come with amazing ratios, but I think he's like a 25 home run guy until he shows us he can get the ball off the ground with any kind of consistency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Harold Ramirez DFA'd by the Rays, making room for Taylor Walls, who is finally being reinstated from the IL. He had hip surgery back in October. I don't know if that moves the needle in any way for you with Taylor Walls.
Well, no. Taylor Walls is a guy who's gotten some hot streaks here and there, but he's very flawed as a hitter. He's just a really, really good glove. Mm-hmm. Taylor Walls, he can technically play other infield positions. They want him at shortstop. This does a couple things to this infield. Number one, it makes Jose Caballero a utility man who is going to play most of the time, but he's going to be pretty much impossible, I think, to roster in 10 and 12 teamers. He's just not going to play enough. He doesn't have that great of a bat anyway. So, unfortunately, the demotion of Harold Ramirez did not clear up this roster logjam at all. Mm. Like not even a little. It's still super, super crowded. It's still very platoon heavy. We just saw, pretty much everybody sitting except for Randy Arozarena, who might be turning things around a little bit, finally sort of digging his way out of a slump maybe. But this roster, like there's two guys right now. Well, three that I expect to play, 90% of the time. And it's Paredes, it's Yandy Diaz, and it's Arozarena. I think everyone else will sit in various scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. I think Josh Lowe probably plays every time there's a righty, but will sit against some lefties. I think Brandon Lau will do the same thing. He'll probably sit against lefties. The rest of the offense is just going to get platooned like crazy. Jose Siri will get some rest, but not for platoon reasons as much as it will be just to keep him healthy, because Jose Siri just kind of plays all out and gets hurt a lot. But yeah, this is still a huge mess.
So even when
a guy like Junior Caminero is ready, it still looks like a big giant mess in this infield, because there's a reason they called up Taylor Walls, and it's because they want him to be there. They want to play really good defense, and they know Taylor Walls is the best way to do that.
Yeah.
They've already got two guys that cover the rest of the infield between Caballero and Ahmed Rosario. It's a mess. It's a mess in terms of playing time outside of three guys.
Seems a lot messier than in previous years for the Rays. And I saw that there was an article on Fangraphs about, kind of pivoting away from the old Rays system in terms of when they were just, perfect platooning, the way they would know just what buttons to push, what players to play, what days and whatnot. But we'll see how it all works out. But like you mentioned, with Taylor Walls having that good glove, sometimes that is enough to keep your bat in the lineup and for you to play every day. Just another thing. It's, I guess, because he has a track record, but amazing that a notoriously impatient team like the Rays, where if someone's slumping, you're out of the lineup. They've had a lot of patience with Randy Arozarena this season.
Yeah, well, he's one of the few players with all-star talent on the roster, right? Who's shown it more than once, right? Yeah. That's really the biggest difference. Yandy Diaz remains a flawed count. Well, he's not flawed. For fantasy, he's flawed because the power, like that power spike we saw in the first half last year, it was a bit of a mirage, right? He went on a fly ball streak. It went away. It hasn't come back. Brandon Lau is extremely inconsistent. Arozarena and Isak Paredes are by far, or like they're the two most solid offensive pieces here. When you talk about threatening teams with power at all, right? So, I mean, that's kind of where they're stuck, right? They're the two guys that, you know, Arozarena and Paredes have to be the heart of this offense. Cause I don't think you can trust anyone else to be enough of a threat, day after day. So it's not that they're patient with Arozarena as much as they just need him to work out.
Right. All right. Another familiar name that got DFA'd, this week, Abisel Garcia, former outfielder for the Marlins. We'll talk a little bit about the Marlins, cleaning house later, but they DFA Garcia and eat about $24 million in salary, which is kind of unusual for a small market team that doesn't like to spend a lot of money like the Marlins. But as recently as 2021, Garcia was fantasy viable, 29 home runs, 86 RBI in that season. But you got to figure, I don't know if he's going to be an everyday player anymore, probably not, but someone's going to pick him up because, look, if Victor Robles could find work, you know, the Nationals had finally DFA'd him, I think it was like at least over a week ago, but I think the Mariners picked him up. And if Joey Gallo could still be in the major leagues and get regular at-bats, I mean, Abisel Garcia should be playing in a ballpark near you relatively soon.
I mean, maybe. Right. So like there's a couple differences, right? Like Joey Gallo, you're like, oh, I hope I can unlock the power. With Victor Robles, you're like, hey, this guy's really, really fast. He has shown that he can be a good defender. He wasn't last year, but in years prior, he's been he's shown that he can be a very good defender. But, you know, with Abisel Garcia, Avi's just a really, really aggressive power, like sort of power hitter, right? Like he spiked those 29 home runs in 2021, but his career high before that was 20, right? He's been hit with injuries pretty much every year of his career outside of 2015, right? He played 148 games, but otherwise, you know, he's played 135, 136, and then a bunch of like 120, 100, 100, you know, that kind of thing. So injuries have been a problem. He has not been an effective hitter in quite some time, in part due to the injuries. He's a big dude.
6'4", 250.
Yeah.
Believe it.
Yeah. They called him Little Miggy when he was with the Tigers.
Yeah.
He was part of a legendary sort of locker room scrap, but you know, that was between him and Prince Fielder once upon a time. Ooh. Google that if you want. Avi and Prince Fielder. Some real juicy drama there. And, you know, Miguel Cabrera broke it up and might've hurt himself in the process. And it's a wild story from back when the Tigers were playoff relevant. But the thing about Avi Garcia is that he's just hyper aggressive. This dude never walks ever. It's a below average walk rate and he swings. He's super aggressive. He's not unlike Javi Baez in that way. Just swings at everything and hits the ball. Yeah. Hits the ball real, real hard. Right. So he'll hit the ball very hard when he connects with it. Right. But you know, when you look at his max EV numbers, they don't quite tell that story because of the fact that he'll do a lot of weak grounders and then just missile a grounder between the third base and the shortstop until he finally gets another ball in the air. His ground ball rate has gotten just completely out of control now, probably because he's lost a little bit of something between his bat speed and bat control. You know, if you're in like a very, very deep league, I still probably wouldn't speculate on Avi, and I've always rooted for him, but that skill set ages poorly. And the Marlins don't really know what they're doing, but this was probably the right move.
Right. Okay. We've got a couple minutes before our next break. And since you mentioned the Tigers, I'll touch upon Justin Henry Malloy. Has played 5 games for your Tigers. Gotten off to a slow start, but look, in the minor leagues, 4 seasons, 278, 410, 462, triple slash, 4 games at DH, 1 in the outfield, has played a lot of third base in the minors. Spencer Torkelson getting sent down finally. Hopefully he, you know, writes what's been going wrong with his swing and his offensive production. But what can we expect from Justin Henry Malloy? You think that he's going to continue to play every day? Is he here to stay, or just kind of biding time until when Spencer Torkelson gets called up again?
Yeah, let's start with Torque. I got asked about him a few times over the weekend. Look, what he does in the minors actually doesn't really matter that much. You wonder how much of this is just the mental side trying to get back on track there. Because look, his ratios, his plate discipline, all of it was fine, right? What was missing was basically quality of contact. Even the batted ball direction is all right about where it needs to be, right? But he wasn't getting like any line drives. And there's, you know, a lot of that does balance itself out. Torkelson's not a guy who's going to hit a lot of line drives, but when you're only getting 9.1% line drives, that's about half of the number it should be for even an average player. It tells me he's doing a lot. And if you look deeper into the Statcast data and stuff, you'll notice he was hitting stuff with the bottom and top of his bat, right? He just was missing the barrel of the bat. And that's one of the hardest things, I think, to correct. Now, getting in the minors, I think part of it is just getting a confidence boost. And, you know, Torkelson's gone down to the minors. It's only been 5 games, but he's hitting the ball great down there, which is exactly what you expect because he's a major league caliber talent, right? Yes. He's got a home run. But it doesn't matter because what you need is for him to come back to the majors and be able to barrel up balls at the major league level again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy when you see a guy's having like total contact issues because you're like, hey, maybe he's not seeing the pitches right. It looks like Torque is seeing everything right and missing, right? And it's just missing, right? Instead of it being a double, it's a pop out. Mm-hmm. Instead of it being a line drive, it's a grounder, right? Like, that's kind of what's happening to him right now. So hopefully some time in the minors fixes that for Torkelson. He's not someone I'm stashing unless I have an NA spot. If I have an NA spot, Torkelson is a fantastic use of it. Because you know he's going to come up. When he's up, you know what his role is going to be, and you know what his upside is because he showed it to you last year. So I like him a lot as an NA stash. But if you don't have an NA slot, he's really hard to stash because we don't know how long this will be. Hopefully not long. I hope we get him back before the All-Star break, but it's hard to tell. It just really depends on what they're seeing. As far as Justin Henry Malloy goes, so Malloy's plate discipline numbers remind me a lot of another guy. Now the skill sets are different, but the plate, like the approach at the plate is the same as a guy like Edward Julian, right? Justin Henry Malloy is trying to walk, right? Like he walks a lot, like almost 20% in the minor leagues. He was at 20% through 195 plate appearances in AAA this last year. They got him from Atlanta. He's a guy that's going to potentially be a very, very nice OBP contributor, but the overall power I think is a bit limited. I think he's someone, look, in a full season, I think this guy could hit 20 home runs. He won't really steal, but he could be like a 20 home run, 350, 360 OBP guy, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe even better on the OBP side, depending on the strikeouts. That's the thing that has already started to bite him just a little bit, 35.3% strikeout rate in his first 17 plate appearances, which is like nothing. But he did have, you know, a 26.7% strikeout rate, Justin Henry Malloy in AAA. And you know what happened? A strikeout rate above 25% in the minors almost always turns into something close to 30% in the majors, right? Because if you were striking out that often in the minors, the major league quality stuff is just going to get you more. Right. They're better at pounding the zone in the majors. They're better at getting that breaking stuff to stay in the zone in the majors. That's going to be the big transition. So if Justin Henry Malloy can get that major league strikeout rate down around 25%, I think he could be a real contributor in OBP formats. But it's a wait and see for me, anything outside of like deep 15 team OBP. Right. Because his role isn't super, you know, he's played, you know, pretty much every game since he's been called up. But there's only so long that's going to happen. Part of that is just because this team needs a boost. Mm-hmm. Right. Like the Tigers offense has been absolutely anemic for a little while. They need the boost. They've They lost Torkelson. They had to send him down. Kerry Carpenter's on the IL. Mm. They just don't have a lot of options. They need a spark. They're hoping Justin Henry Molloy gives it to him. I'm not sure he will, but watch the strikeouts. If the strikeout rate can get at 25% or better, this is a real contributor in OBP. If it can't, he's not going to be what you're looking for in a 10 or 12 team league.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As far as power, back in 2023 in 136 games for the AAA affiliate for the Tigers, hit 23 home runs, 83 RBI. So has some pop to him, but we'll see. I think this is a good spot for us to take our second break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little Elliot Ramos. Seems to be this week's flavor of the week. And we'll talk about some players who already there's been some talk about them being moved in trades and just trying to determine what that would do to their fantasy value. We'll talk about all that right after this.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com. NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
All right, we're back. Hacks and Jacks, a fantasy baseball podcast. Joe Galina and Scott Chu. Follow me at Joe Galina. Follow Scott Chu at If the Chu Fits. Check out his weekly article. Writes for pitcherlist.com, his hitter list, top 150 hitters. He's got a portion of that article that has a taxi squad, so players that are just on the cusp of making that list. And so really good resource for you to use. And Scott, what's your favorite flavor, ice cream flavor?
I have some ice cream. I have some ice cream. I have some ice cream. And I'm going to eat it all.
Ooh. I've got several. I'm going to go with a Midwest classic. That's Blue Moon. Big fan of the Blue Moon ice cream.
Wow. Never had it, or tell you the truth, heard of it. But
I wish I could tell you what the flavor is.
Does it lean fruity? Does it lean,
No. If you Google it, it'll tell you it's like almond or something.
Interesting. Okay.
It'll remind you, if you've ever had Superman ice cream, Blue Moon is the blue component of Superman ice cream.
Okay. Interesting. That's an interesting answer. You know, usually you hear, I like chocolate, I like vanilla. Blue Moon, I like that. So I mentioned flavor of the week. It just seems that every week there's a player or a hitter that pops up, or a few that, you know, everyone's running to the waiver wire to get. You know, in previous flavors of the week, Joey Ortiz for the Brewers. What about Luis Matos? He started out like a house of fire, 11 RBI in two weekend games. Everyone was just losing their minds over him, Scott. And all of a sudden now he's back in the minors. So, with Miguel Andujar, everyone was excited about last week. Matt Vierling, David Fry, your cover guy in your hitter list article. So this week it just seems that a lot of people focusing on Elliot Ramos, outfielder for the Giants. And you spell his first name with an H, H-E-L-I-O-T, in case you're looking for it, but pronounces it Elliot. And so far in his first 28 games, 6 homers, 23 RBI, 1 stolen base, 327 batting average with a 973 OPS. So playing every day, looks like some regression is probably likely, but not to the point where I think he loses all of his fantasy relevance. Strikeout rate overall at just under 30%, but still walks a lot, so that helps. And minor league stats over 7 seasons, 267 batting average with a 790 OPS. So what are we thinking about Ramos? We think he has a sticking ability.
Sure. So Elliot Ramos, so it's all about the strikeouts. I know I just talked about that with Justin Henry Molloy, but it's all about the strikeouts. It's around 30% right now. The only way that's going to work is if he keeps walking like he is, you know, right now. He was not able to bring that walk rate over to the major leagues prior to this season. Small sample, but wasn't able to do it. Definitely looks like he's doing that now for sure. 117 plate appearances, 12.8% walk rate. I like that a lot. Look, the quality of contact's good because he can hit the ball hard, right? Like, so he's someone who does have, you know, some pretty good pop. I don't know if it turns into like, I don't think he's like a 30 home run kind of guy. I think we're looking more at like 20 to, you know, maybe in a peak season, 25. Couple of things that I noticed. Yes. Number one, look, the hard hit rate is fantastic over this small sample. He is pummeling the ball when he hits it. And that part's great. Weirdly, he is rarely pulling the ball. 24% or 24.2% pull rate right now in the major leagues, everything going up the middle, right? That's really weird. And I do expect some of that to turn back into pull. And I'm kind of curious. So what that'll do is he's got a higher ground ball rate, 47% ground ball rate, ground balls up the middle go through, ground balls to the pull field generally don't. So I'm wondering, I mean, that could affect his batting average at some point if he does start pulling the ball more, but it also gives him a little bit more power upside. It's hard to hit the ball home run to center in any ballpark, you know, out in San Francisco, no exception. I think that there's a decent contributor here for power. I don't think there's much speed. I think the ratios are definitely going to come down. The question of how down they'll go is all about the strikeout rate. And again, if he can keep that strikeout rate below 30, that walk rate at least 9 or 10, this is a value, you know, this is a guy who could show some value. He's different than guys like Ortiz and Matos. So Ortiz and Matos are both very interesting in that they're very similar. They're very contact heavy, mostly empty ratio guys who got hot, right? Ramos is different. Ramos is definitely not an empty ratio type contributor. He is someone that is going to provide some pop, someone who is a little bit more dynamic than that, but it's got a much lower floor because of that strikeout rate. Whereas Ortiz and Matos, their floor comes from bad contact, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Ramos, his floor comes from no contact. Very different things. When you hear me talk about, you know, this guy's kind of like a high floor, low ceiling player. That's the Ortizes and Matoses of the world who are mostly just trying to drive liners like over the infield, right? I know I use him as an example too often, but it's sort of a Luis Arias thing, right? The floor is really high. The ceiling is lower because of what they're trying to do with the baseball. That is not what Elliot Ramos is trying to do with the baseball. He will try to really drive this thing, get more, you know, he'll have more doubles. So if you think about it, the guys like Ortiz and Matos in points leagues are fantastic because you get credit for all those singles. Mm-hmm. In category leagues, singles aren't worth much, right? Unless they drove in runners or you get driven in to score. A single is just a contributor to batting average, a small one. Very small contribution to batting average. So that's where in a categories league, there's a lot more interest for me in a guy like Elliot Ramos, also because he hits the ball a lot harder. But in a points league, a guy like Joey Ortiz is probably someone I'm a little more interested in because he's going to get me points every day, right? Mm-hmm. You're not hurt. He's not going to hurt you with strikeouts, you know, in a points league where strikeouts cost you points. Elliot Ramos is going to have negative days. He's going to have a lot of them, right? He'll balance some of them out with the walks, but it's a bit more of a, you know, very up and down kind of feel in points leagues. You won't get that feel as much in categories though, because it'll just be like, you know, he'll still do some okay things and you don't care. Strikeouts aren't as directly a problem in category leagues as they are in points. So
right.
Interesting sort of juxtaposition of all the guys we've talked about Honestly, the one who I think has the most staying power in a fantasy league is David Fry. I love this guy's skill set. The his contact ability on our pitcherless metrics isn't great, but he continues to hit the ball hard. I guess you could say he slowed down a little bit for a couple games. I know some people are frustrated that he doesn't play every day, but the quality is so good when he plays that it's really hard not to be excited. I mean, like since May 12th, this guy, he just doesn't strike out, right? Like it's absolutely incredible. He has a 9.7% strikeout rate over his last 72 plate appearances. That's 19 games, 9.7% strikeout rate, 16.7% walk rate, 6 home runs, 3 more doubles. Those doubles all come in the last couple of days. In 19 games, he has 16 runs scored and 18 RBI. This dude is, and he's stolen 3 bases as a catcher. I think more playing time is coming because I think he deserves to be, in their outfield more. I think he's going to get some DH days. I think he's going to get the breaks I think they want him to get. But like he's eligible all over the place now. I think when he's active, he's playable. He's one of the few catchers that I'd be interested in playing at another position when he's active that day, especially in a daily league, right? Because I totally feel comfortable plugging him in at left field. If you're Yahoo, you can plug him in at first base. He's got 3 games at third, right? Like he might even get third base eligibility at some point. I really, really like David Fry. I know in the AMA, if you want to check it out on Reddit, I listed a bunch of catchers I'd rather have, where I'd rather have Fry over them. I know last week I talked about Jonah Heim. I'm much more interested in David Fry than Jonah Heim rest of the season. I think David Fry will be better than a streamer despite the limited amount of playing time compared to maybe some of the other catchers who get to DH every day. But really big fan of David Fry. Whereas again, Joey Ortiz, flavor of the week, Elliot Ramos, definitely a low floor, high ceiling sort of guy. But David Fry, I think, is the one. He could really stick around, really be a difference maker. Obviously, he's scooped up everywhere, but if you've got him, don't give up after a bad week. Whereas after a bad week or two, it's okay to maybe move on and stream someone else instead of like a Joey Ortiz.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned Fry has 3 stolen bases. Well, that's nothing compared to what Jesse Winker's been doing. And so I was looking at your hitter list article. And you talked about being worried about C.J. Abrams not stealing enough. But then we look at Jesse Winker. Guy's got 11 stolen bases already in 62 games. And he's never had more than one in any season. So if you want to talk about C.J. Abrams and why you're a little worried about him, because you mentioned that the Nationals as a team run like crazy, but he hasn't really been. And also just the weirdness of Jesse Winker having 11 stolen bases already.
My goodness, Jesse Winker, right? Like this dude, he had like 6 stolen bases his entire career, including his like highest ever in a single season was 8. He did 8 in the minor leagues once, right? In the major leagues, it was 1. And now he has 11. He has and it's not just like they've sort of been spread out. Like it's lately, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the last 2 weeks, this dude has stolen 6 bases. It is absolutely insane. I have no idea when that's going to stop. Right. Cause he's getting caught. He's been caught 4 times basically in that same stretch. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how long it's going to last, but what interested me is when I saw that, C.J. Abrams, part of the reason he doesn't have a lot of steals right now is he doesn't get on base, right? He's not getting to first base. And if you don't get to first base, it's kind of hard to steal second, right? And, some of his hits lately have been 4 extra bases. He did finally steal a base earlier this weekend, but then he got caught. So he's actually been caught quite a lot. Like in his last 4 attempts, he's 1-for-3. When you're as fast as C.J. Abrams, that's a problem. And look, the Nationals, what's interesting is I'm like, look, is it because the Nationals aren't running? I actually did a similar sort of analysis with the Cubs, which I'll get to in a second. But I was like, look, are the Nationals just not running? Is that what it is? No, they are running a ton. They're just not doing it with C.J. Abrams, right? They're running Jesse Winker and Lane Thomas until their legs fall off. But they're not interested in running C.J. Abrams. That to me suggests a pretty big problem, because if you're going to run aggressively, you normally would use your fastest player, your fastest player by a wide margin now that Victor Robles is gone, right? That's CJ Abrams. He is by far the fastest player on this team. And they're not using him to run. They're using 30-year-old Jesse Winker, who's never stolen bases really before ever, right? And even when he did, he wasn't that good at it. Right. They're using Lane Thomas, who out of nowhere they just decided they were going to run with, who has average speed, right? They're going to run with those guys, but not CJ Abrams. Either teams have figured out how to get CJ Abrams to stay on the bag, combined with the fact that he hasn't been hitting well lately, or, you know, and it doesn't help that CJ Abrams has absolutely stopped walking. He has like one walk in his last, God, I don't know, 15, 20 games. He never walks. But your leadoff guy isn't your stealer. Right now, in theory, if he gets on base more, he should run more, right? And he does. He did have two attempts over the weekend against Atlanta. He might get another one here on Sunday. But it is very concerning that Abrams isn't part of this overall strategy. And also concerning that he's not been very successful lately. And eventually teams will stop running you if it costs them more than it earns them, right? Getting that extra base is only worth it if you can get it about 80% of the time. And CJ Abrams, despite his speed on the season, is 9-for-14. That's not great.
Right.
So, you know, that's like 2/3. So that's not going to be worth it to most teams. So that's a concern. You know, the other one that really concerned me was Nico Hoerner for a very similar reason. Nico Horner's getting on base. And I thought, oh, the Cubs must not be stealing because they started the year not stealing quite as much. But over the last couple of weeks, the Cubs have stolen plenty. They're stealing plenty of bases, and yet they're not using Nico Hoerner to do it. And that, again, that is something that that is a pretty significant concern to me, simply because if you told me the Cubs were running, right? If you told me that the Cubs were fifth in the major leagues in stolen bases since May 1st with 35, I would think Nico Hoerner had a bunch of those, and he does not. Right. The Nationals, they have 44 stolen bases since May 1st, and like two of them are CJ Abrams. Like, that's a problem. That it's not, because your first thought is, okay, the team must not be running. But no, the team is running. They're just not using those guys. That to me is a deeper problem than just like, you know, if the team's just not running, if they ever do decide to run, you would expect those guys to run. The teams are running a lot, right? These are both top five steals teams, and they're not using Nico Hoerner, and they're not using CJ Abrams. That's getting me to sort of I'm using this word a lot this year, but recalibrate my stolen base expectations for those two players, especially for Abrams, if he continues to be unsuccessful when he does get the chance.
Recalibration, so important just in fantasy sports, especially fantasy baseball, with the length of the season. It's just so important, not just for what you just mentioned, just overall, you need to be flexible, need to move, you know, and take a look at trends and see them happening, you know, react to them.
No. Yeah. I mean, like just with Nico Hoerner, right? I mentioned the Cubs have 35 stolen bases since May 1st. Nico Hoerner has six of them, but keep in mind that three of them came in the two games against the Mets, right? Over the remaining games, he has three. Right. He has three. May 12th, June 1st, June 6th. Now, the nice thing for Hoerner is that he hasn't gotten caught and he's leading off here and there, but I'm concerned about Hoerner, and even more so about CJ Abrams. Cause again, we're talking 44 stolen bases since May 1st for the Nationals, and CJ Abrams has two of them.
In plenty of leagues, there's no reason to really even roster Hoerner anymore. We talked about it last week. I mean, you know, you drafted him, you roster him because you want a high batting average, you want stolen bases, and you want runs scored. And he's batting .252, and only has seven stolen bases, like you said, not running, and has 31 runs scored. So really not doing it for you. I mean, it's got to be better options.
Both guys have been awful since the start of May. You know, technically Horner's been okay in OBP leagues because he's walking, but you know, especially CJ Abrams, I mean, the dude has a .226 OBP since May 1st, right? It's really bad. He's got three home runs, two stolen bases. Now, again, some signs of life lately, like since May 26th. So over the last 2 weeks, Abrams is striking out way too much, but he does have three home runs. He did steal a base.
Yeah.
He's doing a couple little things, but man, these guys are killing you. Now, Horner, I'm willing to move on from, but the ceiling for Abrams is still just too high for me to sort of say you should do that, because he could still absolutely be a 20 home run, 30 stolen base guy.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean,
that kind of upside.
I'm looking at him, and he looks like he's on pace for maybe a 25 homer, 22 stolen base season if you calculate him playing 150 games. Very, very fantasy friendly there. But just when you look at that he stole 47 last season, yeah, it's an issue. And he's not running as much.
Maybe the Nationals figure out what's bothering CJ Abrams when he's stealing bases, because this dude's real good at it. He stole 47 of them last year and got caught four times.
Hmm.
Right.
Maybe we'll hear that he's playing through an injury, it's like a month later,
51 stolen base attempts last year, caught four times. Mm-hmm. That means you get to run, mm-hmm. but 14 stolen base attempts and caught five times. Not so good. That's mm-hmm. the same player, right? That's bizarre to me. And again, it's another reason why I'm kind of concerned about what's going on there with CJ Abrams.
Yep. All right. So we were going to talk about some players that seem to be on the chopping block in terms of being traded and how that would affect their fantasy value, but kind of running out of time. So we'll get to that next week. But Scott, anything off the – before we go, anything that you want to get off your chest? Or I know in the Reddit AMA, I know people were asking you about Colton Cowser and Davis Schneider, anybody else that fantasy players are kind of, interested in these days?
Yeah, I want to talk really quick about those two guys. Number one, there was a great question asked. It was, why is Colton Cowser underperforming his StatCast numbers? If you go to Baseball Savant, you look at Colton Cowser's page, it's all red, and his real life numbers are lagging far behind. And the big difference that you can figure out pretty quick is if you go to Pitcher List and you go to our stats, we also get StatCast data. We make our own expected batting average, expected slugging based on batted ball direction. We add batted ball direction to the mix, and it tells you why. It's because Colton Cowser is only pulling about 12% of his fly balls. He's hitting most of them the other way. And there's a big difference between a pulled fly ball and an oppo fly ball in terms of average outcome. A pulled fly ball has the best average outcome in baseball. A pushed fly ball, an opposite field fly ball, has some of the worst average expected outcomes in baseball. So that's the problem, especially when you're in Baltimore. It's not easy for someone to push balls that way. For a left-handed guy like Cowser, it's not going to work out very well. So he's got to start pulling fly balls to really unlock his power. So that's what you want to see from him if you want him to turn it around. Davis Schneider, a guy I think we got asked about him quite a bit. He's, I think the reason people are asking is because he got really, really hot, and he's been pretty slow for the last week or so. And look, that's par for the course for Davis Schneider. He's improved his zone contact quite a bit. We talked about him last year. We said the bottom was going to fall out, and it did. It's because his zone contact last season was like 72%. That's miserable, right? You cannot succeed in the major leagues with a 73% zone contact. This year for Davis Schneider, it's up around 80. It's been trending down of late, but the contact percentage is up by about 10%. The zone contact's up a ton. Yeah, the chase contact rate is up a lot. So with Davis Schneider, I think in OBP, this is absolutely someone you want to be holding. In batting average leagues, I see why it's a little tougher, but this really is a player with like 25 home run power, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe 30 under perfect conditions, right? He really gets hot. But so far we've seen 92 games at the major league level, 15 home runs. That's probably a little high for long-term expectations. A lot of it comes from this blistering hot streak he got last season. But Davis Schneider is definitely someone in all leagues that I at least want to know where he's at. Like if he's on the wire, he should be my first look every time I need to replace someone at second base or outfield. He's definitely someone I think that's worth rostering and holding because he's got that kind of upside. And in shallow leagues, I want to chase upside, and Davis Schneider's got it. Whereas some of these other guys, again, like a Joey Ortiz for second base, the upside's just not there. Maybe in points, but it's not there otherwise. So I definitely like Davis Schneider, and I know like there's a people want to kind of just move on and pick up the next thing. But Davis Schneider's upside is a little bit higher than that. So I would recommend you to hold if you absolutely, if there's any way that you can, I definitely think you should.
All right. Good stuff as always. And I think that just about slams the lid on episode 105 for this week. Good stuff from my man, Scott Chu. Follow him at If the Chew Fits, and read his hitter list article, which debuts every Wednesday, and check out his Reddit AMA. Starts Fridays 12, 1-ish, right, Scott, Eastern time?
Yeah, whenever I can get to it. I mean, same for the hitter list. It comes out Wednesday afternoon, I hope. Life's been a little hectic lately, but school's out now, so theoretically I've got some more time. Midday on Friday for the AMA. It's a great time. We have truly over 100 questions get asked every week. So all kinds of great conversation there. And then on the hitter list again, Wednesday, possibly Wednesday night, in worst case Thursday, you know, middle of the day, that's when you'll find that one.
All right. School's out for summer. All right. So as always, we hope that all of your fantasies become realities. And we'll see you next time.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com. NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Or your grandma here with us, making carne asada.
She does love a cold Corona.
Throw in some dancing.
Oh, we can watch the game.
I'll drink to that.
So a backyard concert with football, food, dancing, and Corona?
And your grandma.
Or we could keep it simple.
Simple is good. Want a Corona?
Thanks. Salud to the perfect day.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.